Okay, good morning and good afternoon, everybody. Today is Wednesday, so we have our shiur on Hilchos Pesach. Just for those who are keeping track, this is our third shiur on Hilchos Pesach. We began 2 weeks ago with a shiur on things relating to chametz, like bedika and biur and bittul. Last week we spoke about the more expanded definition of what is considered chametz, things like gebrachts and kitnios. We discussed the issue briefly of medicines on Pesach. You can find each of those shiurim, the recordings, if you missed those, on YU Torah. For today, and Emir Hashem, we'll have a fourth shiur as well at the beginning of next week. So today and next week, I would like to speak about halachos of the Seder. Let's switch from all the bad stuff about chametz. We've done justice, I hope, to that. And let's focus on the halachos of the Seder. And what I'd like to do is divide up this into two shiurim. Today's shiur, we'll focus on two specific mitzvos, that of Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim, which is effectively the mitzvah of Leil HaSeder, the mitzvah of Magid, of telling over the story to ourselves and to our children, as we'll discuss, and the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, Motzi Matzah, from the Seder. The reason that I'm picking these two and distinguishing between these two and what we'll do next week is that, in fact, there are five mitzvos at the Seder, two of which, even nowadays, as we'll discuss, are midoraisa. They remain Torah obligations, midoraisa, even nowadays. And the other ones that we'll do next week, like Dalet Kosos and Hallel and Maror, are actually only rabbinic, derabanan. So I figured that's a good way to distinguish. We'll do the doraisas today, and then next week we'll do the rabbinic ones, the derabanan. So the two mitzvos daraisa, as I mentioned, at the Seder. So the first one is the basic theme of the entire Seder, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Both the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos, as well as the Sefer HaChinuch and Mitzvah Chaf Aleph, count the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on the night of the 15th of Nisan on Leil Tetvav as its own independent mitzvah daraisa, based on the pasuk in Shmos in Perek Yud Gimel, a pasuk we're all familiar with from the Haggadah itself, V'higadeta levincha b'yomahu lemor, ba'avorzeh asa Hashem li, b'tzeisi mimitzrayim. So the idea of v'higadeta levincha, telling over to our children, that is the basis, according to these Rishonim, of the mitzvah d'oraisa on Leil HaSeder, of recounting the story of the Exodus, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, one of the big, big discussions that takes place in the poskim is why exactly do we need a special and new mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim at the Seder with this pasuk of Hivgadika Levincha? After all, aren't we commanded to recount and to recall the Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day of the year? This is a mitzvah that we know as not as Sipur, but as Zechira, remembering. But what's the big difference? What's the big deal? Remembering, telling, recounting, retelling, Sipur, Zechira. We already have a mitzvah that exists not only the night of the Seder, we have a mitzvah that exists throughout the year, every single day of the year, to remember the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Aside from all of the mitzvos, if you will, incidentally, like tefillin and mezuzah and things like that, which talk about Mitzrayim, we know that part of the Kriya Shema that we say every single day includes references to Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. So why is there an obligation? Moreover, this actually has a particular Pesach connection because it's mentioned in the Haggadah. This very idea of Zechira, not unique to Pesach, that's relevant all year round, actually is something we say, all of us are familiar with, in the Haggadah. It comes from the Mishnah Brachos on Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph, and it's the opinion of Ben Zoma. We quote this debate, we discuss even both opinions in the Haggadah, but we Paskin like the position of Ben Zoma, right, who teaches us that there's a mitzvah to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim every day and every night, twice every single day. Yemei Chayecha Hayamim, Kol Yemei Chayecha Halelos. We say this in the Haggadah. It's a Mishnah in Masechet Brachos. We pass it in this way. So there's already a mitzvah d'oraisa to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, not once, but twice, including every night, every day of the year. So what do we need? What are we gaining? What's the benefit of having a new mitzvah called Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim at the Seder night? This is a very, very famous question, and it was, I think, first raised by the Minchas Chinuch, in his commentary to the Sefer HaChinuch there on Mitzvah Chaf Aleph, and he himself gives a brief answer, but for the sake of time, I'd like to focus specifically on the various approaches and distinctions that are raised in the Soloveitchik family from the Briskers. This particular question and getting to the heart of the difference of Zechira every day versus Sipur at the night of the Seder, for whatever the reason, is a particular passion, maybe even one might say obsession, but certainly a passion of the Briskers, of the Soloveitchik family. And starting with Rav Chaim Brisker, going all the way down even into more recent times, Rav Soloveitchik of recent memory, all of them, the Briskers, have put a lot of attention into trying to answer this question. What is the difference? What is the chiddush? Let's put it this way. What is new? What is different about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim at the Seder from the mitzvah that we have to do anyway every night, including Leil HaSeder, of remembering of Zechiras Mitzrayim? And I'll mention, if I'm not mistaken, I believe when I went through it again today, if you add up all the answers that are mentioned in different Brisker Svarim, I think they have 10 different answers, 10 different things which they suggest perhaps might be unique about the Seder night. So we're not going to have time for, nor would I think most people have interest in all 10. I have a unique ability to be obsessed with details. I've learned as I got older that everyone shares my obsession with all these details. But even if we just mention a few of them, we'll see that they're quite interesting and really, I think, profound, not only conceptually, but they should be things that on a practical level we're aware of at the Seder. So let's start with, so to speak, the granddaddy of them all, the grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker himself. In Rav Chaim Brisker is quoted in the Brisker Haggadah, Haggadah Mi Beis Levi, as suggesting three things, three differences about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which makes the mitzvah we have at the Seder unique from the mitzvah we have all year round. Number one, said Rav Chaim, on the Seder night, ideally, this should be something that is communicated from one person to another, derech she'ela u'tshuva, with the questions and the answers, which we know is built into the form and structure of our Haggadah. It's true, the Mishnah says, and nebuch, there may be people who have to deal with this year. If you're alone, if you're by yourself, then you're even supposed to, so to speak, ask these questions rhetorically to yourself and answer them bederech question and answer. But certainly, ideally, at minimum, if there's two people, so we have somebody ask the questions, at every Seder, someone should ask the Manashtana, and then we go into the answers. That is true about the Seder night. It is not true about the mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim the rest of the year. Number two, said Rav Chaim, the structure of Maskil Bignus Umesayim Beshevach. As we know, our Haggadah is structured where we start off with the bad stuff, and then we get to the good stuff. There's a machlokes, how early do we have to start in history? Do we go all the way back to Mitzchila Obdei Avaseinu Avodah Zarah, or do we just start with the descent into Egypt? That's a machlokes, and our practice is reflected in the text of the Haggadah is that we actually do both. We have both paragraphs in our Haggadah, but the point is that we start with the bad, and then we get to the good. We build it up in a way that's more dramatic as a storytelling, and that's not something that's required all year round. And number three, said Rav Chaim, it's not enough just to tell the story, just to tell the dramatic narrative, but we must also include the reasons for the mitzvos of the night, the reasons for Pesach, the Karban Pesach, for Matzah, and for Maror. And again, this is familiar to us from the Haggadah itself, Pesach HaShalma, you know, Matzah, we do why, Maror, etc. We talk about all these things in the Haggadah itself. And according to Rav Chaim, these are three things that are not just coincidental in the Haggadah. They're not just time fillers, but these are the things which characterize the unique mitzvah of Sipur as opposed to the mitzvah just to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim the rest of the year. Those are the three that Rav Chaim himself mentioned. Rav Chaim's son, Rav Velvel, otherwise known as the Griz, he added a fourth distinction, and he pointed out that if you look in the Rambam, it seems clear that not only are those things a part of the mitzvah, he agrees, of course, with everything that his father said, but he adds a fourth thing, and that is that you have to discuss the laws, the halachos, that are relevant to Yetzias Mitzrayim and Karban Pesach. Discussing the halachos of the Seder is also part of the mitzvah. And we don't have time to go into it now, but he proves this, again, from the language of the Rambam, and from a Tosefta, and from other sources. Rav Soloveitchik himself, in one of his famous Yortzeit Shurim, he actually also develops this idea, I don't remember if he quoted his uncle or not, but by the time Rav Soloveitchik, he might have heard it from his uncle, he heard it from his father. He develops this idea in a very beautiful, hashkafic way, and he points out that the real ultimate goal of the Seder and of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim is one not only of study of Talmud Torah, but also of Mesorah, right? This is the night, a magical night, hopefully if we do it right, to give over our Mesorah to our children, to reinvest and to re-energize ourselves with our commitment to the Mesorah. And Rav Soloveitchik explains so beautifully, obviously we want to understand the historical context of where we're coming from. That gives a framework for our Mesorah. We mentioned that idea in yesterday's Haggadah Shir from Rav Sadan, how important it is to understand the historical context and understand where we're coming from and where we're going, Jewish history, Jewish destiny. But Rav Soloveitchik adds, I think so powerfully and so poignantly, we can't possibly think we can do justice to the Mesorah, to Jewish tradition, if we wouldn't include any discussions of halacha, any discussions of the mitzvos of the night. Because so much of our Mesorah, so much of Yiddishkeit, of course, is halachic observance. It's not only halachic observance, but it's the heart of everything. How could we give over our Mesorah without any reference to halacha? So all of this is the fourth reason that's given, the fourth thing that's unique about the Seder. Unlike the rest of the year, we have these four things. Now that last one being also adding halachos. And I'll just mention Rav Soloveitchik in some of his own writings had some of his own theories as to building on what his uncle and his grandfather said. And Rav Soloveitchik, as is recounted both in the Yortzeit Shir and in the journal Mesorah, which is put out by the OU Kashrus organization. They put out the Mesorah journal so many years ago. They included pieces from Rav Soloveitchik where he also added some of his own ideas. And of all the ones that he mentions, I'll just add one last one, a fifth one for those keeping count at home, and that is Rav Soloveitchik added that unlike the mitzvah all year round, at the Seder, it's not enough just to tell the story in all the details that we just mentioned, but we also have to celebrate this phenomenon. The fact that there's Hallel at the Seder is not a coincidence. Hallel is uniquely and integrally part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, as we say in the Haggadah, based on the Mishnah Psachim, Lefichach Anachnu Chayavim, Lahodos, Ulahalel, Shabeach, etc., etc. Once you really experience and you tell over what happened, Memela should naturally be bursting forth that you want to praise Hashem and thank Hashem. These five things, again, quickly to review, that number one, at the Seder night, it should be question and answers, ideally to someone else. Number two, we start from the bad, the gnus, and then we get to the good, the shevach. Number three, we discuss the reasons for the mitzvos. Number four, we discuss the mitzvos themselves, and Rav Soloveitchik's idea. Number five, that we also have hallel, we also have praise. Largely, and especially this last point, can be understood if we just make one final step, which is that unlike the rest of the year where we're just remembering something in the past, the real challenge and the real call of the night of the Seder is not to recollect something that happened in the past, but to re-experience it in the present. Chayav Adam Liros es Asmo Kilu Hu Yatza Mi Mitzrayim. Now that's obviously very daunting and very hard, but many of the halachos that we just saw naturally flow from that understanding, that that's not, if you will, history, but journalism, if you will. We're discussing current events, things that have actually happened to us, not something that happened 3,000 plus years ago. And therefore we understand why we want to be expansive, give over the details with tremendous excitement, just like we just saw something incredible just yesterday. We experienced something amazing. We're overflowing with praise and hallel. When we say Shema every day, we're remembering something that happened, but we're not re-experiencing it. When you re-experience something, many of the things that we just mentioned really make a lot of sense organically and very authentically and naturally, because if we're experiencing it, if something had happened to us, we want to be expansive, we want to tell everybody. We have a whole structure. We want to have the drama of the story. And of course, we want to praise Hashem. Just briefly to mention one more thing before we switch to a few halachos of matzah. And that is that you may have, I don't know if you ever thought about it, but if not, you certainly should, that even though this is a big mitzvah we discussed now, we just spent almost 15 minutes discussing the details of this mitzvah, but there's no bracha on the mitzvah, at least not ostensibly. There are some Rishonim who suggest that various things we say, either at Mariv, in Kiddush, or in the Haggadah, might be indirectly, subtly construed as a bracha, but al pi pashtus, we generally assume that there is no bracha on the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, no asher kreshana mitzvah of vitzivanu al Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, vitzivanu on the Haggadah. Why not? So a lot of different answers that are given, but I'll mention just briefly one, which is al derech machshava, The Sfas Emes has a famous idea. The Ger Rebbe, the Sfas Emes, says, because really at its heart, the whole Haggadah, the Seder, Sipras Yetzirah, it's all one big expression of Hakaras HaTov. It's a thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're recalling all these events, and especially, as we just mentioned, if we're experiencing the events, so we're actually, it's a way of retelling all the details because we're saying thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Sfas Emes, Hakaras HaTov, being grateful human being, being someone who has gratitude, that is the ultimate in rational mitzvos, a mitzvah sichlios, or a mishpatim, as we like to sometimes say. Says the Sfas Emes, and again, we could elaborate on this and give a shiur on this in its own right with many other examples, and we could discuss this. We don't have time for that now, but says the Sfas Emes, he's not the only one who says it. There's no bracha on a mitzvah that we would have done otherwise even without the Torah. A purely rational mitzvah, a mitzvah which we could have done on our own anyway, we would have thought it to do on our own anyway, that doesn't get a bracha. We make a bracha when we say Hashem Kedoshim Zazav Vitzivanu, on things that we're only doing because Hashem commanded. Why else would you shake a lulav? Why else would you light the menorah? Why else would you blow a shofar? Okay, that's Vitzivanu. But on mitzvahs which are sichlios, which are rational, like tzedakah, or in this case, he says Hakaras HaTov, we don't make a bracha Hashem Kedoshim Zivanu, because those are rational, and any decent human being should be charitable, any decent human being should have gratitude and say thank you to people who did good things for him or her, and therefore he says we don't do a mitzvah. Okay? More to say perhaps on the topic, but we're going to move on now for the sake of time, and I want to quickly jump now to giving you a few of the halachic highlights, a little bit of an overview of some of the basic points that relate to the mitzvah of matzah. As I mentioned, there are only two mitzvahs d'oraisa that we do at the Seder. One is Sipras Yetzirah Mitzrayim, the Haggadah, saying over the key points of the story, and number two is eating matzah. How do we know that matzah is a mitzvah d'oraisa? So it actually is a machlokes. But we paskin that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa even nowadays. This is in the Gemara Pesachim, Daf Kuf Chaf, because even though in some places matzah is linked to the Karban Pesach, al matos umorim yochluhu, and if there's no Karban Pesach, so there shouldn't be a mitzvah d'oraisa anymore of matzah, the Gemara acknowledges that, but according to Rav, who we paskin like, it's still considered d'oraisa because we have a different pasuk, be'erev tochlu matzos. That's a separate pasuk that says tonight, on the 15th of Nisan, we must eat matzah, and that pasuk has no connection to the Karban Pesach. And therefore, based on that pasuk, we assume, practically speaking, halacha l'maisa, that unlike murrah, for example, which we still do, but it's only rabbinic nowadays, matzah is d'oraisa nowadays, even though there is no Karban Pesach. The Chasam Sofer, the famed Chasam Sofer in the Tshuva, points out something amazing, and he himself is astounded by this, and you can kind of feel his excitement as he points this out. When you read his words, he says it's amazing to consider that even though in the Torah itself, midaraisa, there were many foods, many things that had to be eaten on a daraisa level, nowadays there's only one thing that we have left, and that's matzah at the Seder. Midaraisa, there's karbanos, there's truma for the Kohen, there's Maaser Sheni for all the farmers who bring to Yerushalayim 4 years out of every 7 year cycle. There are foods that have Kedusha Midaraisa that have to be eaten Midaraisa. Nebuch, without a base of Mikdash, nowadays we don't have those. The one food that has Daraisa status, that in and of itself innately must be eaten on a Daraisa level, the one thing all year that we can do that's an eating mitzvah Midaraisa in and of itself, says the Chasam Sofer, is matzah, something very, very special, and should certainly give us an appreciation for this mitzvah. How much of matzah do you have to eat? So the halach is, the Rambam Paskin, the Shulchan Aruch says, a kezayis. Okay, but I know that doesn't help anybody. How much is a kezayis? You think I'm going to get into that now? I'm not crazy, even on a Zoom shear. Well, how much is a kezayis? How much of matzah do you have to eat? This is like one of the biggest and raging machlokeses. The only thing I'll tell you, and anything more than this, consult your local rabbi. The only thing I'll tell you is as follows. We generally assume that on a mitzvah d'oraisa, we determine a kezayis by a shiur, by an amount, that's basically double a modern olive or equivalent to a contemporary egg. Two zeisim. For mitzvahs d'rabanan, we can do a smaller amount. A contemporary olive would be sufficient. So for example, forget the fact that matzah and romaine lettuce are obviously not the same thing. That's obvious. But even if we could somehow use equivalent, you know, items, you'd actually have to have twice as much matzah as murrah, because matzah in motzi matzah is the oraisa. Maror is only the Rabbanan. Or perhaps more helpful, I should mention, we eat matzah three times at the Seder. Motzi matzah, Korech, and the Afikomen. Korech, everyone agrees, is the Rabbanan. And even though Afikomen is a machlokes, most poskim assume that Korech is also the Rabbanan. So the amount of matzah you have to eat for achilas matzah, for motzi matzah, which is the mitzvah daraisa, that is significantly more than the amount of matzah you have to have for Korech, or the amount of matzah you have for your afikomen. That's just that much I can say. That's not controversial. How much of a machine matzah or how much of a hand matzah nowadays constitutes a single gazayas or a double gazayas? So that, as you probably know, is a big machlokas, and there's lots of different shitos, and you can either try to look that up on your own. I don't want to take responsibility for the different shitos. It's a wide-ranging debate, or you could speak to your local rabbi. But certainly, whatever amount of matzah you would eat, please, at the very least, I can say you should have more matzah. You should have the most amount of matzah for that initial matzah, because that is the mitzvah mideoraisa. Also, a factor in eating your kazayas is how fast you eat it. You can't schlep it along too much. A kazayas has to be eaten b'chdei achilas pras. But how long is that? So guess what? As you all know, that's also a machlokes. So we should be stricter. Now, we have to eat more matzah for achilas matzah, but we also have to eat it in a quicker amount of time. You can eat less matzah and schlep it over longer for korech and for afikomen. For motzi matzah, you should have this double zayas, and if you really want to be muhudar, probably you should eat that within 2 minutes. That's probably the right shita for motzi matzah, is 2 minutes. When it comes to korech and afikomen, you probably have at least 9 minutes, even lechatchila, to eat. I mean, the quicker the better, but probably have at least 9 minutes for korech and for afikomen. But for motzi matzah, probably should try to do it in two. If you can't do it, and especially if you're eating a larger amount, it might be more difficult, I understand that. So bidi evid, you probably have up to 18 minutes. But lechatchila, you should try to have your motzi matzah the bigger amount, and also in the faster amount of time, in about 2 minutes or so. Who is obligated to eat matzah? Who is obligated? And the answer is, everybody is obligated. Certainly every adult, men and women. This is itself its own topic, but just to mention very briefly, without getting into all the details in the lumdus, we would have thought logically that women would be exempt from matzah. It seems to be a perfect candidate to be a mitzvah as man grama. It seems to be time-bound. It's limited. It's only on the Seder night. So how come women are obligated? So the Gemara says, you're right, Enechanami, it is time-bound. But there's a special halacha because the Torah in numerous places mentions matzah and chametz in the same pasuk. There's a conjunction between matzah and chametz. The Gemara says these two are like, you know, evil twin, you know, twin brothers, you know, the good brother and the bad brother, but they're like twins. They're inextricably linked. Siamese twins, you might even say. And therefore, the Gemara says anyone who is included in the Isser to eat chametz, Mela is also included in the mitzvah to eat matzah. So women are equal to men in all the lotases. Of course, a woman can't eat chametz. That's obvious. So if a woman can't eat chametz, says the Gemara, Mela, she's also obligated to eat matzah. So women are obligated. Women themselves should be careful. If there are other people in the house who are more responsible for these things, you should make sure that the women in the house are doing this. Sometimes this is people don't realize this. Women are just as obligated as men to eat matzah at the Seder. What constitutes matzah? So again, for people who have allergies or food issues, you should definitely speak to your local posek. I don't want to get into if there are any exceptions or what heterim there might be for people nebuch who can't eat grain products. But just to quote the basics, which are non-controversial, halachically, we assume that just like the five grains are what can become chametz, we discussed this last week, kidneys or other such things cannot become chametz by definition. To be chametz, it has to be something that's fermented from the five grains. So too, because of this relationship between matzah and chametz, matzah must be from the five grains. If a person really has allergies or stomach issues and cannot eat any of those grains, then probably they're pater midaraisa from matzah. But there is no other way. There is no artificial or substitute way to fulfill matzah. So that's what matzah comes from. The flour, of course, has to be mixed with water. And we paskin and Shulchan Aruch Siman Tuf Samach Beis that the matzah should be made only from flour and water. You shouldn't add any other juices. And the reason is because many other liquids that would be added to the water would, at least from the halachic perspective, I don't know if the chemists would agree with this or not, but the halachic assumption is that the additional liquids would be like a catalyst and make the chimutz, the fermentation process, go much faster, and therefore we wouldn't be sure that we didn't get chametz or not. In addition, if you, not mixed water and juice, but if you got rid of the water, no water, you just took the flour and you mixed it with juice, egg yolk, wine, milk, things like that, then even if there's no chametz problem with that, but there's a different problem, and that's matzah ashira, so to speak, a rich man's matzah, and we know that for the Seder and for matzah in general, we want lechem oni, poor man's bread. So there's a double problem. If you mix water and juice, it might be chametz. We certainly don't want to go anywhere near there. And if it's only juice, then it could be a problem just of matzah ashira. And that's why we know that really, unless someone is really sick or very old and can't, is not healthy enough to have regular matzah, there are certain people, it's rare, but there are people, the doctor says, they can't eat matzah, but they could eat what we call egg matzah. So then, we have a special heter for the matzah ashira. But in general, we assume that you should have just the plain water and flour combination. I just want to mention, if you'll indulge me for a few more minutes, two more issues, just because I think there'd be a very common interest. Number one is, what's the whole story with shmura matzah? What does that mean, shmura matzah, and when do you have to have shmura matzah? This is a question every year, but especially this year, people are concerned, and there might be shortages, and I'm not here to discuss if machine matzah this year is healthier or safer than hand matzah. As far as I know, they're the same. But again, that you have to ask your doctors and your local rabbis. But from a halachic perspective, this is based on ushmartem es hamatzos, that there has to be a special shmira, a special guarding of the matzah. Now, it can't mean something basic, like don't let it become chametz, because that we understand. Of course, it can't become chametz. I don't need a pasuk for that. So why do I have a special pasuk ushmartem es hamatzos? So some rishonim at me say means, not just guard the chametz, not just guard the matzah, but guard it really, really, really well. Okay. But as you probably know, there are some rishonim, and we try to assume this way, halacha, there are some rishonim who say, no, it has nothing to do with practical. Rather, when we're guarding and making the matzah, it has to be done l'shma, l'shei matzah mitzvah, l'shei matzah mitzvah. If anyone who's ever baked any of their own matzahs or gone to the matzah factory, you know they're constantly saying this, and that's because it's brought down in the poskim, based on Rashi and other rishonim, that it's not enough to just be careful that it's not chametz, but rather you have to imbue into the process of making the matzah, you have to imbue a kavana, l'shma. I'm doing this for the mitzvah of matzah. At what point in the process do you have to do this? So this you probably see written on all the boxes. This is actually a machlokes. The most machmir shita says it should be with kavana and careful watching from the harvesting in the field, mishas k'tzira. Others say from the time you grind it into flour, t'china. And the most lenient view is you don't even need it until you start mixing the flour with the water, shas afia. That third shita, we almost never, ever rely on. The first two are brought down in Shulchan Aruch, but the clear preference of the Shulchan Aruch and the overwhelming minhag Yisrael is to be machmir for shmura, mishas k'tira, from the earliest possible stage. That is generally the standard, unless the person isn't really in a shas adchak, in a very, very difficult situation. This is for sure considered a chova at the Seder for that matzah mitzvah. According to many poskim, it would not be strictly required to have shmura matzah the rest of Pesach, starting the next day and for the rest of the holiday, as long as you knew it was kosher for Pesach. That you need, the bare minimum. Of course, you have to have it watched to make sure there's no chametz, but you need that l'shma the rest of the week. So some poskim, most poskim say technically not. Some poskim say yes. Why might the answer be yes? I don't have time now, I'm running late anyway to get into the why. Practically speaking, most of us buy enough matzah at the beginning of the Yom Tov that most of us are eating shmura matzah all week anyway. That's certainly nothing wrong with that, and that might even be the right thing or a kiyum. But strictly speaking, according to most poskim, you wouldn't need that, even though that is probably what's most commonly done. Just a final minute on the issue which I alluded to earlier, which is the machine versus hand debate. This is its own shiur. I've given an hour shiur on this topic. I obviously can't do that in the next minute. But when machines became popular, it was a massive debate in Europe. Massive debate. The passions, like most things, have kind of died out. There's not much of a passionate debate anymore, but there are different minhagim. There are different minhagim. What was the debate about? So at the core, the debate was about this issue. If you need to make matzah l'shma, can you do that if you're pushing a button and it's an automated process? Can an automated process be l'shma? Many poskim said no. Other poskim said yes, because the guy who pushes the machine button, he pushed the button l'shma. Maybe that's enough. There were other issues, but that was the main debate. The bottom line is, in 2020, 5780, in Klal Yisrael, there are different minhagim. Many, many people, especially from Hasidic backgrounds, prefer hand matzah, the round hand matzahs, but there are many Gedolei Yisrael, including Yerushalmim, Shlomo Zalman Orbach and others, including the Briskers or Soloveitchik, who l'charchila preferred machine matzah, l'charchila, not just if they can't get the hand matzah, they preferred it. So you should do whatever your minhag is, whatever each minhag is good, whether you have machine matzah even at the Seder, as some people do, or you have hand matzah at the Seder and machine matzah the rest of the week. It's all fine. L'chachilat shibi shmura, l'chachilat shibi shmura mishas k'tzira, and that is the main thing. Okay, again, I'm sorry for going a little longer than I had wanted to, but thank you for being with me. Those are the two mitzvahs, the oraisa of the Seder, and in Mirz Hashem, either Sunday or Monday, we'll have a final shiur where we'll discuss the three mitzvahs, the Rabbanon, of Maror, four cups of wine, and Hallel, and then we'll finish off this series, in Mirz Hashem, before Pesach. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a great day.